Good morning, everybody. Thank you, sir. I appreciate that. People are sleeping. I got to wake them up.
Amen.
Amen. 9:30 yesterday morning. Oh, yes. Thank you, Joseph. You're amazing. If Joseph Vanna White would come down and hand these things out, please. If you don't have any, oh, and the other Vanna White over here. If you don't have notes, would you please raise your hand? You're going to want these notes. I know a bunch of them were handed out at the door, but if you don't have it, you're going to want it. Thank you, gentlemen. Vanna's got nothing on the two of you, I'll tell you right now. Yesterday morning, I get a text from Pastor Hal. I'm in a dilemma. So I went over to his house, and he sat on the inside of his house, and I sat out on the sidewalk. And so if you would be praying for Hal and Dawn, Hal tested negative, Dawn tested positive. So if you'll be praying for them as they figure all this out and all that kind of stuff and quarantining and everything like that. And I said, Hal, I appreciate you allowing me to do this. I am so absolutely convinced that God is real. I am so absolutely convinced that he is who he says he is, that his son is who he says he is. Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. I know that that is looked upon as narrow-minded and blinders and all that kind of stuff and arrogant. Those are just names I guess I will have to receive. Because I stand before you today absolutely 100% convinced that this God, Jehovah, and his Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit are it. They are the way. They are the truth. They are the life. There is no other way. And I believe that this God, this Creator, is so absolutely crazy in love with us. He is for us, not against us. And my hope is this morning that this message that I am about to give will help you also believe. Not because I believe, not because I do something fancy up here or whatever. But I hope that you believe because the grace of God will have captured your heart. And at least in this moment, you will walk out of here today unequivocally convinced that he is it. And that he is for you, not against you. And that no matter what lie has been told you by you or by anyone else, the truth is that God is excited about you. He made you. He created you. He has a plan for you. He is always with you, and he is always working to your good. Amen. Some of you in here, I think, are very pretty solid on that, and then there's others who are not. I hope today that this message will touch each of you. And what your thoughts are, where your heart is, I hope that it touches each of you where you need it. Would you pray with me, please? Heavenly Father, I know that I am not enough. In fact, Heavenly Father, quite frankly, I'm grateful that I'm not enough. My concern in that, Lord, if I was enough, then I wouldn't need you. So, Heavenly Father, in the midst of my not enough, I pray that each of these people would receive your enough, because you are enough. And because you are enough, each of us is as well because of you. I pray over these people. I pray the outpouring of your Spirit, the Spirit of truth, the Spirit that teaches truth. I pray that revelation would come today, I pray that freedom would come today, and that that freedom would be walked in beyond this morning, but into the afternoon and into tomorrow and the weeks and months and years to come. Those who the Son sets free are free indeed. In your name I pray. Amen. As you know, first of all, those of you who don't know me, my name is Jason Kaler. I am a teacher at Hernando Christian Academy. I teach Bible, middle school Bible, which is awesome and great. For those of you that don't know, my wife runs the city of Brooksville. Those of you who know my wife know exactly what I'm talking about. And so I teach school so that I have plenty of time to just do whatever she needs me to do. It's awesome. And I mean that. If that sounded in the tape like I didn't mean it, then it strike that from the tape, please. You also know, if you've been here for any length of time, the fact that I have to stay between this speaker right here and this speaker right here for the camera that's back there, you know that that is incredibly difficult for me, and I am not promising anything. I'm going to try really hard, but I'm not promising anything. So, Pastor Hal, if you're watching right now, and I would assume that you are, if I disappear, the rapture has not come. I've just gone outside the camera. I am absolutely convinced that my dad was not afraid of anything. I had a great relationship with my dad, a fabulous relationship with my dad. I am beyond honored and blessed to have the father that I had. And I was probably pretty convinced most of my life that my dad was not afraid of anything. And not because, you know, my dad, like, you know, was the big boss and dictatorial and all. My dad was just a man's man. And there was not a mountain he couldn't climb, and there was not a battle he couldn't fight. And not only did he climb mountains and fight battles and all that kind of great stuff, but he would just drag people with him. He was the guy in the battle that had like two guys on each shoulder running up the hill to get them to safety. I mean, that's just my dad. That's how he lived his life. He had tons of charisma, and he was just a great guy, and he loved the Lord and all those kinds of things. And I, growing up as a kid, certainly didn't believe that there was anything that he was afraid of. And as I got older and into my teens and then college and then out and married and all that, I was pretty convinced as an adult that ultimately there was really nothing that my dad was afraid of. And when my dad was dying, I was afraid. I was in my 40s. An adult, had my own children, obviously, all that kind of stuff, but I was afraid I was losing my dad. And it hurt. And it was hard. And I talked to my dad all the time, and my dad gave me tons of advice and was a very godly man and encouraged me and pressed me to do things that I didn't think I was capable of doing. And so I was afraid. What was life going to be like when my dad was gone? And even in the midst of all the dying and all the stuff, my dad was amazing. And of course, the dad that he was, the man that he was. There was never any signs of fear. There was never any signs of disappointment or discouragement. Cancer's ravaging his body. He is wasting away to nothing. He is in extreme pain, and he is still running board meetings and church meetings in his hospice room, and he is still going to people's homes. People who have cancer, my dad is going to their homes to read them the Bible. I said, Dad, you have cancer. He said, oh, yeah, they're way worse off than me, though. I got to go read them the Bible. In his hospice rooms, in his hospital rooms, he is still trying to win people to Christ. I mean, my dad was unstoppable, even in death. And yet one time, right near the end, I was sitting on the bed next to him, and he said, son, I want to share something with you. He said, I want you to know and understand your dad. I want you to know who I am. He said, There are times in the night where I lay in my bed alone. Because his body was a mess and he was dying. And so he'd moved into another bedroom in the house he and my mom lived in. And just so he didn't disturb her and stuff like that. And he said, I lay in that bed, Jason, in the dark. He said, and I'm afraid. And I was like, what? Dad. He said, son, I want you to know me. I want you to know who God is to me. I want you, when I'm gone, I want you to be able to reflect back on the man that I was for you and for your mom and for your sisters and these grandkids and these people, the man that God called me to do. And he said, I think it's important that you know that what you see during the day when I am doing my thing, and that's the dad you know, I want you to know that when I lay at night in that bed alone and I can't sleep because my body is racked with pain and I know that I'm dying. He said, I want you to know that I'm afraid, that I get scared. He said, I know it's the enemy. It's dark. The disease is real. My time is running out. He said, I know it's the enemy. He said, so I take those lies that the enemy is telling me. He said, I take those things that the enemy is telling me. He said, and I reveal them the truth and I call them out for what they are. And I get my mind set into a place and I will not do this because here is the God that I serve. Here is the Savior who has saved me. Here is the power of the Holy Spirit in my life. But son, I am afraid and I conquer that fear with the truth of the Word of God. But I would be lying to you to tell you that I don't lay there and I'm not scared. I'm scared because I know that the pain is only going to get worse. That this is I'm only going downhill. There's no recovery. And he said, and quite frankly, I don't want to go through this. I don't want to die like this. He said, I'm scared for your mom. My mom had Parkinson's disease and was very deeply in the Parkinson's disease and was already in the stages of dementia. And my dad did everything for her. And he said, you kids can't do for her what I do for her. And she's scared. He said, and I get scared about that. He said, I want to be here to take care of you guys. I want to help you with your marriages. I want to help you with your kids. I want to do this. I'm only 68 years old. This doesn't seem fair. He said, and so I get scared. I get afraid. There's fear that creeps in. He said, but son, I don't let it stay. Joy comes in the morning. I rebuke these things with the word of God. I stand on what I know is the truth. The truth that I know sets me free. I'll say that again. The truth that I know sets me free. It's not some wibbly wobbly thing that floats around and I might get it on a Sunday morning. It is the truth that I know, son, that sets me free. And I fight. And I fight. All night long, I fight. And I guard my thoughts. And I guard my heart. He said, but it's there. And it's dark. And it's black and it's evil. And I get afraid. He said, but I refuse. I refuse to let the enemy win. He said, because I'm free. Because the Son set me free. Amen. What are you afraid of? What are you afraid of? What are you allowing? What have you been allowing for who knows how long? What have you been allowing to take control of your thoughts and your actions and your words and all of these things? What have you been allowing? Is it something that other people have told you? Is it something that you are telling yourself? Is it something very, very real? My dad was literally dying of cancer. Or is it something imaginary, like that thing that might happen tomorrow? What are you afraid of? There in your notes is the theme. If you walk away with nothing more today than remembering this, if you walk away with nothing more than remembering this, please remember this theme. You can respond out of peace instead of reacting out of fear. You can respond out of peace instead of reacting out of fear. It's possible. It may not seem like it. You may have been so deep into whatever for so long that it just, the uphill battle seems impossible. Well, it is possible. And you can take it a half step at a time. You can take it a half step and then back two steps and then a half step up. But it can be done. If you have your Bibles or your phones or whatever you use, it'll also be up on the screens. I'm going to read out of the Passion Translation, Philippians chapter 4, verses 1 through 9. Philippians chapter 4, verses 1 through 9. I'll let you get there, whatever, if you're scrolling it up or you're finding it in your Bibles. I'm going to read it out of the Passion Translation. Here's what it says. Philippians chapter 4, verses 1 through 9. My dear and precious friends, whom I deeply love, you have truly become my glorious joy and crown of reward. Now arise, get up, stand up, be resurrected in the fullness of your union with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I plead with these two ladies. I know Hal is like super good at names and all that kind of stuff. So it's like Eucalyptus and Syntyche machine. Sorry, Hal. I tried. I worked on it. I plead with Eucalyptus and Syntyche to settle their disagreements and be restored with one mind in our Lord. I would like my dear friend and burden bearer to help resolve this issue, for both women have diligently labored with me for the prize and helped in spreading the revelation of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers. All of their names are written in the book of life. Verse number 4, be cheerful with joyous celebration in every season of life. Let your joy overflow. Verse number 5, and let gentleness be seen in every relationship, for our Lord is ever near. Number 6, don't be pulled in different directions or worried about a thing. Man, don't be worried about a thing. That, some of you right now, that's your fear right there, is you worry not about a thing, you worry about everything. I didn't mean to call anybody out. If I'm doing this so nobody can say, he pointed right at me. I'm just wagging my finger in a broad general sense. If it convicts you, it's not my finger, it's the Holy Spirit. Okay. Don't be pulled in different directions or worried about anything, a thing. Be saturated in prayer throughout each day, offering your faith-filled requests before God with overflowing gratitude. Tell him every detail of your life. Verse number 7, then God's wonderful peace. Whew. Then God's wonderful peace that transcends human understanding will guard your heart and your mind through the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, verse number 8, therefore, keep your thoughts, keep thinking on, fix your thoughts on. Refuse to think about this and instead think about this. Say no to this thought and grab a hold of this thought. Punch this thought in the face and grab a hold of this thought. And if you have to grab the thought by the ankles as it drags you along, I don't care. Grab onto this one. Continue to think about this one. Get rid of this one over here. Continually fix your thoughts on these things. What is authentic? What is real? What is honorable? What is admirable? What is beautiful? What is respectful? What is pure? What is holy? What is merciful? What is kind? And fasten your thoughts on every glorious, do not go to verse number 9, and glorious work of God, praising him always. I had a big discussion the other day. Oh, I almost just stepped right off, and I can't do that. Sorry, camera, I'm back up here. With my 8th graders, no one makes you think the way you think. Oh, Mr. Kaler, that is not true. That girl that just broke up with me, she made me sad. No, she did not. I don't care how good looking she is. I don't care how amazing she is. I don't care if she was your wife forever. Eighth grader. She did not make you sad. You chose to be sad. I'm not saying sad is a bad thing. I'm not saying that sad is wrong or what, but you made a choice. You fixed your thoughts on that. That kid pretty much lost his marbles by the end of class and came unglued and ran home and told his mom that Mr. Kaler said that, you know, he said I shouldn't be sad, which of course is not anything that I said. I said, you chose to be sad. And thankfully, actually for once in my life, a parent said, Mr. Kaler's right. I'm teasing, kind of. Verse number 9. Put into practice. Ah. My arms are so weak. My back is so sore. I don't want to work out anymore. Man, you've been working out for a while? No, about 5 minutes. Nice. Good job. Great. Well done. You think you could go for 10 minutes? That's going to be pushing it, man. Put into practice. Guess how many times? Again and again and again and again. I don't think I can do that. No, you can't. I promise you can't, because you're a human and you're weak. But by the power of God in your life, by the power of the Holy Spirit in your life, by God's grace in your life, you can do it again and again and again. And listen, I'm not talking about just mind over matter and read a Bible verse. Listen, I'm going to get to some things here at the end. This is not just about, I'm going to just try harder. That will not work. The God of the universe wants to walk you through this. And he wants to walk you through whatever fears you are allowing to crush you and to overwhelm you and to dictate, though they're not, unless you're letting them, dictate what you're doing. The idea is that we're not only going to get into God's word, yes. We're not only going to just pray, yes. We're not going to just only get a friend helping us, yes. We're not going to potentially go and see a counselor and let a counselor help us. We're not going to potentially join Celebrate Recovery. And we're not going to just do one. We're going to do them all. Because all of them are pieces of the puzzle. And we get this idea in our Christian circles, we get these ideas in our churches that you know, I've got this deal, and so it's just me and God, and I'm going to pray once in a while, and I'm not going to tell anybody, and I'm not going to get any counseling, and I'm not going to go to Celebrate Recovery, and I'm not going to do this, and, you know, because it's just me and God. Yep, that's great, and I don't want to say God can't do it. But God has put things in place for us to do life together, to walk this out together, and it's not just a matter over mind in the moment. It is a practicing of many different steps that will help us get to the place that God wants us to be. Free. Because those who the Son sets free are free indeed. So back to verse number 1. Can you pull back verse number 1 back up real quick? Back to verse number 1 in your notes. Right up there under the top. In the top there are 3 blanks. My dear and precious friends, whom I deeply love, you have truly become my glorious joy and crown of reward. Now arise in the fullness of your union with our Lord. Don't put arise in that first blank. If you've cheated and gone ahead, naughty. No, Danny, don't look at Lisa's. That's how you got through school, I know, but not anymore. You got to do your own. There's a reason he married her. I'm going to put stand in that first one. Stand. And the reason I chose stand as opposed to arise, if you want to put arise, go ahead. I won't mark you wrong when you hand it in later on. But it is this idea that not only do you rise up, not only are you resurrected, this is what this is talking about, in the union with Christ, not only are we dead and we're no longer dead, we're alive in Christ, but we are choosing to stand. We're choosing to make a stand. Well, it's really hard. Yes, it is. I'm not going to joke you or try to say it's not. It is. especially if this fear or whatever you're dealing with has been something you've been dealing with for a long time. It has its roots down deep, and it's not going to come out easily. And you're going to have to stand again and again and again by the power of God, with the help of a friend or an accountability partner, with a prayer that God has given you to pray, a verse that He's given you to hold on to, praying in tongues, praising in tongues. Are you baptized in the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues? Man, then use it. Amen. Then use it. Amen. There's power in it. So stand in the fullness of your union, your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So then there's this list off. It's here in your notes. I know they typed it up as well. You can throw that up on the screen. Here's the list off. You ready? Because here's what your day is going to have in it. Ready? I'm going to read it with you. Verses 2 through 7. You're going to have relational difficulties, but you're going to have to be full of joy in all seasons, celebrating God. You're supposed to let not only you celebrate, but you're supposed to let your joy overflow to those. You're supposed to be gentle and humble and kind, meaning selfless relationships. Don't worry about anything. Be continually in prayer. Be continually in thanksgiving, an attitude of gratitude, and God's peace is going to guard. You want to know how I feel when I read that list? Can I just be honest with you? When I read that list, that there's going to be relational difficulties. I know probably all of you, I'm the only one in the room that has relational difficulties. Probably y'all are like, man, all of my relations are great. So maybe I'm the only one. But here's how I feel about that list. That there's relational hard difficulties going on. There's circumstances in my life that are going on. And yet I'm supposed to be filled with joy all the time. And my joy is supposed to flow to everybody. And I'm always supposed to be praying and thankful and all these types of things. You want to know how I feel about that? Gah! What is wrong with me? That's what I feel like. That's what I feel like. I get frustrated. I get discouraged. Oh, geez, I wrinkled my notes. Wrinkled. Did you hear that? I just made up a word. Write that one down and use it somewhere. People will love you. Wrinkled. I don't even know how to spell it, but I just made it up. My pages are all wrinkled. That's how I feel. Please, please tell me I'm not the only human being that feels that way. That doesn't get exasperated and tired and exhausted and crumple our notes up, these notes that are supposed to be good and life-giving. We crumple them up and we're frustrated and maybe you don't throw a little temper tantrum like I do right there. Maybe you just wallow in it. Maybe you've wallowed for so long. Maybe you've been in it for so long you don't even realize you're doing it anymore. I see a couple people out there right now going like this, wrinkled. How do I, wrinkled? That goes against every grammatical thing I've ever thought of in my whole life. We're moving on to the next one. Forget wrinkled. We'll come back to it. But seriously, we read verses like that, do we not? Do we not read verses like that? And we go, yeah, but God, Paul didn't know about so-and-so in my life. They're a problem. And this joy thing, I mean, seriously, I feel like I'm on a roller coaster. I mean, one time I'm like super great and it's awesome. And within minutes, I know. And I don't have the answers to all of that. Please don't think that in the next 20 minutes, well, actually 15 minutes and 34 seconds, that I'm going to be able to do this for you and have all the answers. And you're going to walk out of here like in this glow of the Holy Spirit epiphany going, whoa, you may be more frustrated when you walk out. I don't know. But here's what I do know. That if you do not guard, and you do not begin guarding, if you haven't been guarding, or whatever, if you do not guard this idea of your union with God, and again, it's not you doing it. It's the grace of God. It's the power of God doing it. But we're cooperating. We're cooperating with that. We're taking our natural and we're combining it with His super. And guess what you get? I made it up. I felt for it. It's pretty cool. I probably didn't make it up. But you get supernatural. You get supernatural when I'm willing to cooperate. And I know here's what happens sometimes. We cooperate in the moment, and man, and we rise above, and we're like, oh, man, Jason might have been right for that one time. That's amazing, incredible. And then literally 5 minutes later, boom, you've crashed again. Listen, I've been there. And I've had to climb back up again with God's help. God, help me. I know the truth. Here's what the truth is. Here's what I'm going to think on. I'm going to say it again. I'm going to pray it again. I'm going to praise it again. I'm going to be thankful for it again. God, I'm going to share with somebody. And so we get to verse number 8. And your notes. Yeah, we can go to verse number 8. Not verse number 8, the notes. Thank you. You know what? I'm giving you bad directions and I'm very sorry. There it is, right there. You ready? There's your blanks. Think on these things. Think on these things. The moment you feel your mind starting to wander off down that path of whatever and the anxiety or the fear of or the whatever, and then, because here's what happens. I'm coming outside the box. Sorry. We get over here and we've reacted and we've done something and we've said something and we're like, oh my goodness, I cannot believe that I did. Really? You can't believe it? Really? Because you reacted out of fear. You reacted out of anxiety. You reacted out of something that has been bombarding you potentially for a long time or maybe even just in this moment. And in that moment, you didn't take what was the truth and fight the lies with the truth. And so here's the things we think on. There they are behind me. They're in the back too if you want to turn and see what I see. Authentic and real, what is true, honorable, admirable, beautiful, respectful, pure and holy. Go to 7, 8, and 9, please. Oh, my bad. They told me that would happen. Merciful, kind, and then I just wrote the last one in for you, that we dwell on, we think on God's glorious, praiseworthy word. So here's what I need. Here's what I need. Would you... And Alton, would you go help him, please? I'm going to ask you to volunteer and come up. Please don't resist me. Please don't resist me. Gary, would you please come up here? Would you come up, please? Can I have you to come up? I need you to come up. Yeah, I need you to come up. Jimmy, come on. How many do I have? Superman? Big, strong muscles, would you come up? I call this guy Superman because I literally just am like amazed every time. How many do I have? Seven? 8. Jeff, can you do it? All right, he's going to try. Excellent. Come on, Jeff. I'm running out of time, and you're going really slow. Move down here. Move down here. Move down here. If I only had these guys standing up here today and I told you I have authentic and real, I have honorable, I have admirable, I have beautiful, I have respectful, I have pure and whole, and on down, if I only told you that, then you might go away today and not really think about it. But I called Hal and I said, Hal, when they walk out today, I want them to remember this and never forget it. I'm going to bring weapons. Are you all right with that? And Hal said, oh yeah, bring weapons. That'd be great. Because here's what I'm doing. Here's how much I want this to just get. Where do we go here? Let's take this out.
Yeah, I was good. I can. You look busy.
I am. This is my grandfather's. It's pretty amazing. So be super careful with it.
Sweet.
Yeah, so be super careful with it. Okay. Okay. This is my dad's. So be super careful with it. You ready? And make sure you guys point down or up and all that kind of stuff and all that kind of stuff. This was my grandfather's. He was in World War II. And this is his, and it's, I promise you, it is very, very sharp. I've actually cut myself a couple times on it playing with it, and it's not fun. That will just hurt somebody just because it's so heavy. It'll just knock them flat out. Here's what I wanted you to do. Here's what I think we don't do. Here's what I don't. I know I'm way out of, let me get over here. Hal, I'm sorry, I got to go outside the camera. Here's what I want you to get. Here's what I want you to grab a hold of. Is this is not a game, ladies and gentlemen. This is not a game. This is real. This is warfare. This is a fight. This is a fight for you individually. This is a fight for me individually. This is a fight collect. This is a fight for our families. This is a fight for each other. This is a fight for the church. Because we have an enemy who he pulls no punches. We have an enemy that absolutely seeks to kill, seeks to destroy, seeks to malign, seeks to bring death, seeks to bring destruction. This is not a game. This is not, we cannot fight like this. He will destroy you. He will destroy you. And I know we think of the big ones, oh, you know, drugs and alcohol and, you know, he will destroy you with fear. Where you are crippled by fear and you hide. I have never in my life seen more people afraid than I have in 2020. Not ever. More people hiding and our government. Oh, stop. The people that be playing on that fear. And that is just a microcosm. That is just a microcosm of what he does. What he does in our marriages. What he does in our families. What he does between sons and daughters to each other. And sons and daughters to their moms and dads. And moms and co-workers. And it's only a microcosm to what he does inside of you. Inside of your head. Inside of your heart. If you allow him to. If you don't fight. If you don't draw your weapons and you say, I am going to think about what is authentic and true. This is what's going to fight for me. I'm going to fight for what is honorable. This is what's going to fight for me. I'm going to think on things that are admirable and beautiful. You're beautiful, by the way. Yeah. You got me all off track now. What am I on? Respectful, pure and holy, merciful, kind, and God's glorious word. And this is what we use to fight. And this is me. This is me behind the wall, behind the fortress, behind the keep, behind the guard, going, yeah, Satan, on you. Come on. Come on. You can't get through these guys. Or this is me. I'm not going to worry about these guys. I can't do it. I can't make. I'm so scared. And I don't say that to any of you. You know who I say that to? Me. Because just like my dad, who was a man's man and a godly man, was willing to admit to me as his son, son, I lay in bed at night and my body is wasting away and I get afraid. I get scared. I want you to know that, son, because I want you to know what I do in those moments so that you can take, not because of me, not because I'm anything great, because of what I believe in, what I trust in, what I stand on, son. And so I'm standing in front of you today, not to come off the stage and be like this and have anybody go, oh man, he's insulting me. I'm offended. Then don't hear it as coming to you at all. It's me. It's me. Fear of failure was one of my greatest downfalls almost my entire life. The person you see up here talking in front of you, I can talk in front of 500, I can talk in front of 1,000, I can do most of it probably for most of my life was a show. And I just found the fortitude. But man, when I started to grab a hold of that lie that I had to impress everyone, that I had to have everybody liking me, that I couldn't fail anyone or people would think less of me, and that was weighing on me. And I began to grab a hold of these things and fight with them little bit by little bit by little bit by little bit. It began to go away. And there were days where I chose to stand and I stood strong, and there are days where I had to make phone calls. Thank you, David Siskoyas, for being my friend. And there's days where I had to pound the same verse again and again and again. And there's times where I had to praise when I didn't feel like praising. There are times where I was on my face, on the ground, crying, yelling, saying, God, I don't want to bow before you. I don't want to praise you. I'm miserable. I'm So God, I'm nothing without you. And I need your grace. And I need your power. Because I can't do this. I can't make it through. I'm exhausted. I'm beat up. I'm whipped. But you're not. So what are you afraid of? I lost track of my notes. Here I am. So what do you fear? Sickness? Loss of money? Loss of job? Or not being in the job that is whatever for you? The government? Do you fear being lonely? When my dad died and my mom, who was very deep in Parkinson's and the dementia was already fairly bad, I remember I called her one time and she said, you know, honey, she said, people used to say to me, you know, oh, I'm lonely. And, you know, and I used to say to them, oh, I'm so sorry. She said, and I thought I kind of understood what they were talking about. And she said, since your dad's gone, she said, I'm lonely. I'm devastatedly lonely. So I cried with her and I prayed with her and I said, you know, what are you doing? And here's what she said. You ready? Number nine. That's what she picked. She picked number nine. She said, I am in his word. She said, I refuse to go down. She said, there's times I don't even know what I'm thinking because my mind is going, and I know that. She said, but I jump into nine. She said, and I sit in the chair and I look out the window. She said, and I just read God's word. And I read and read and read and read. She said, and then the next time I get lonely, I sit in my chair, I take out my Bible, and I read. She picked number eight. I say pick them all. In that moment, though, that's what... You want to know why? And you want to know why I said that to her and why she responded that way? Is because years ago, when I was a kid just getting married and had a wife and I think one kid, maybe two, and I said, Mom, I think we're doing a big change. And she said, what Bible verse are you standing on? That was my mom. Probably 30 years earlier. Well, maybe not that. I'm not that old. Are you afraid of failing? Because that was me. Petrified. Absolutely rigid with inability to make decisions because I was afraid that if I made a decision and went with it, I was going to fail. And then people would figure me out. And then people wouldn't believe in me anymore. And people wouldn't respect me anymore. People wouldn't follow me anymore. I remember when I was pastoring the other church on County Line Road and we decided to go to two services and I was a little anxious about that. You know, what would that look like? And, you know, were we going to be able to grow and, you know, do this kind of stuff? And I said to my oldest son, I said, man, we're going to two services. He was probably 17, 18 years old, something like that. And he's like, yeah, that's cool. That's awesome. I said, man, what if it doesn't work? And my 18-year-old son said to me, what if it doesn't? And I was like, from the mouth of a child. I said, you know what, yes, son, you're right. What if it doesn't? We move on and we do something else. Are you afraid of letting people down? Are you afraid of not being liked? Are you afraid of not being loved? Not being respected? Are you afraid of being hurt? Are you afraid of loss? Are you afraid of not being happy? Are you afraid of being screamed at? Are you afraid of being made fun of? Are you afraid of being embarrassed? Authentic and real. The truth that you know sets you free. Think on things that are honorable, Think on things that are admirable. Think on things that are beautiful, respectful, pure, holy, merciful, kind. Think on God's glorious and praiseworthy word. And I promise you, they'll fight for you. They're not going to just stand there as token whatevers that we just kind of dabble around in. They're going to draw their weapons and they're going to fight. They're going to fight because God loves you, because God is your provider, He is your healer, and these are His. These are His. Would not He, who did not even spare His own Son, be willing to give you every good thing that He has planned? What are you standing on? Verse number one, what have you arisen to? What are you standing on? Jason, I feel like I'm on my knees today. I feel like I'm on my back. Okay. Well, then let God pick you up. Let God brush you off. Let God square up your shoulders and think on these things. Any thought that comes into your mind, say, well, is this a real thought? Is this a true thought? Is this an honorable thought, an admirable thought? Is this a merciful thought? Is this a respectful thought? Then in the name of Jesus, be gone. And I might have to say that 50 times in the next hour. Okay. You're fighting. Let's fight. In your notes, can I have your notes? Thanks. Oh my gosh, you didn't write anything down. Nice. On the back. Make this your continual, powerful, prayerful confession. Make this your continual, powerful, prayerful confession. Again and again and again and again, and get somebody to confess it with you. Get somebody to stand with you. I confess that I am guarded. I confess that I am guarded and protected by the powerful peace of God that works in my life. It rises up to dominate my mind. It controls my thinking and it determines the condition of my life and the environment where I live and work. I am unaffected by the circumstances that surround me, for this supernatural peace stands at the gate of my mind and my emotions to monitor everything that tries to access me. Because no fretting, anxiety, panic, or worry, i.e. no fear, is allowed to enter me. I remain free, calm, and peaceful, even in difficult situations that in the past would have helped me to react in fear instead of responding in peace. Heavenly Father, I pray over these people. I pray, Father, that what is true in this message today, what is true in this message will grab a hold of their hearts, will grab a hold of their minds, will be revolutionary to them, revelatory to them. They're not grabbing a hold of the props that I have up here, Lord. They're not grabbing a hold of anything that I said that caught their attention in a funny kind of a way. What they're grabbing a hold of is they are grabbing a hold of the glorious, wonderful, praiseworthy word that is yours. Because the truth that we know sets us free. I pray that we would stand in that freedom. I pray that we would grab a hold of that freedom. I pray that we would lock in on that freedom. Because those who the Son has set free are free indeed. In your name I pray. Amen. 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 I've gone 4 minutes and 41 seconds over. I hope you forgive me for that. If you won't, just remember what heaven's all about. No. God bless you guys. Have a great day. If you guys would just literally turn and just kind of put those down, I'm going to have these guys help me get them back into the back again. Thank you very much. God bless you. We can open those doors. We're free to go. Have a great, wonderful, amazing week. And be free.